You are listening to the Holistic Travel Nurse Podcast. Thanks for stopping by. This is your host. I am trying to put some truth out there. I'm trying to put some inspiration out there. I'm trying to give you some ideas to how to manage your health and do it naturally. I have lots of videos on that. But right now, I'm doing what Lee Dunley says, and I want you to listen to her. Every time I can find a video from her, Thrive Time has one where she just spoke at an event, and I plan to go to one of those events. And that's Time to Make America Free Again. You can go to that website and Clay Clark and everything he's doing. And everything of the speakers are all the amazing speakers he has at the conferences are all showed on there free. So, man, it just got put out yesterday. And this is Lee Dunnis and her human rights video and her speaking again, and you know, she drops the mic, and so I'm going to share it on my platform because it needs to be shared, and we need to be just listen, and then we'll chat.
Orange County, ladies and gentlemen, please stand to your feet and greet Lee Dundas.
Thank you guys. So I love you guys right back. Love you too, my friends, love you too. So today I want to talk to you about when exactly we're going to get in this fight, and I want to talk to you about the fact that those who do not learn from history are destined to repeat it. I want to talk to you in the main about what the new face of the SS and Nazi Germany looks like. I want to talk to you about what the new face of the KKK post-1960s America looks like. I want to talk to you about what the new face of the Khmer Rouge living in Cambodia in the late 1970s, acting under orders of Pol Pot to exterminate one quarter of their population, looks like when you fast forward to 2021 in the United States of America. And I want to show you exactly what the new faces of these people look like so you don't ever mistake them as your friendly colleagues and neighbors. But first, I want to take a little walk down history lane. On September 4th, 1957, a little girl by the name of Elizabeth Eckford walked onto campus for her first day of class in Little Rock, Arkansas with eight of her friends, whereupon this little girl was met by the firepower of the Arkansas National Guard, who had been ordered on the unlawful, misguided directive of Governor Faubus, who was then in charge of Arkansas, to use any means necessary, maybe short of lethal force, but every other means necessary, to keep this little girl and her eight colleagues off campus. Off campus. That National Guard escorted her and her eight friends back off campus. They were known as the Little Rock Nine. And at that point in time, a bunch of lawyers, human rights attorneys like me, and judges, a judge by the name of Davies, got involved. And they took up the fight. And after 15 days of legal wrangling, the National Guard in Arkansas was ordered not to bar their access, but to escort them onto campus. It was the right order, but the National Guard fell down on the job a little bit. They did a lipstick job of it. They walked these little kids back onto campus, and when the white hater parents in the crowd threatened to riot, they walked them back off campus. And at that point, Dwight D. Eisenhower, who was the president and leader of the free world, ordered the 101st Airborne Division of the U.S. Army out of Fort Campbell, Kentucky, to go to Arkansas, federalize the National Guard under his direct command. battalions worth of army soldiers there, 1,200 men in all, and they joined 10,000 National Guardsmen and nearly 12,000 men in uniform, finally escorted Elizabeth Eckford and her 8 colleagues back onto campus. But that was only the start of the story. Because these children, for the next 4 years, were stoned, spat on, verbally assaulted, beaten, had acid thrown on their faces, had their parents lose their job, and this happened on the daily. And still they persisted, until they graduated. And they went on. They went on to work for NBC, 2 different presidential administrations, and the United States. Make no mistake. Yeah, that does deserve a round of applause, doesn't it? We are not, you know, I'm a huge fan of Brown versus Board of Education and Plessy v. Ferguson. I'm a huge fan of the 1964 Federal Civil Rights Act and its companion piece out of 1973, known as Section 504 of the Rehabilitation Act, which together are the federal statutory framework by which every child, regardless of race, gender, sex, or medical disability, has a right to fair and equal access to education in this country. But make no mistake, my friends, we aren't integrated in this country, and our little kids don't have a right to a fair education because of lawyers like me. Our children have a right to a fair and equal education because of the guts and temerity and heart and persistence of little kids like Elizabeth Eckford, who blazed a way for all of us. Unfortunately, 64 years later, almost to the day, it appears we haven't really learned a darn thing. Because I got back from 90 straight days almost of touring this country talking about freedom to turn on my text thread as I was dropping my daughter, who I hadn't seen since basically May 10th, off at a meeting, to find a text message indicating that there was a little boy who was 12 years old who had decided to go to school for his first day of 7th grade at my daughter's old junior high, a school by the name of Hughes, H-E-W-E-S Middle School in Tustin, California. And this little kid had a 504 and a medical doctor's note on file, which is a fancy doctor legal way of saying he had a medical disability that prevented him from wearing a mask. Because not everybody can safely wear a mask. A lot of people actually can't safely wear a mask. But there are some little kids, you know, the ones dying of cancer, that have a heart transplant, that have cystic fibrosis, which is a fatal lung condition. These kids cannot wear a mask, even if they want to. So he has a 504 note on file, gets onto campus at 8:30 a.m., and his substitute choir teacher, I think, if I'm not mistaken, decides in her wisdom, she is gonna send him to the principal's office for failing to wear a mask. And he gets to the principal's office, and the new principal, a woman by the name of Sarah Tanikawa, in case you're curious and would like to give a little feedback to Tustin Unified School District this weekend before their next board meeting on Monday night. This principal has been in the saddle all of about 6 minutes in her brand new job. She's a brand new principal, and she decides she's not gonna let him in the principal's office. She's gonna lock him outside. She ordered the secretaries in that admin building, who I know by name, to lock the darn door. And this little fair-haired kid sat outside in the baking sun on August 12th in the middle of summer, in the middle of Southern California, as the sun rose higher in the sky and we approached darn near triple-digit weather for 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, 6 solid hours she kept this kid outside. Oh yeah, there's her email address. Please take a screenshot. And her vice principal. Don't you ever mistake these people as your friendly neighbors. They aren't. So we get notice I had left the house with no food, water, or sunscreen because I thought I was going down the street for 5 minutes at home. And we show up by the hundreds, and they have called up OC sheriffs to keep us off campus. So we have three squad cars, 6 or 12 of OC's finest, standing like this, right, to keep us off. And we start talking to this 12-year-old boy who is holding his ground against people 3 and 4 times his age. Using a bullhorn. He was crying and shaking and scared, as I am sure Elizabeth Eckford and her friends were, but he wasn't budging. And when these Nazis, because make no mistake, that's exactly what they are, came at him and were like, hey, little boy, can you put the mask on and override your medical doctor's medical judgment? He held his ground and said no. So we stood out there and we told him it was okay, and he stopped crying. And at break, and at lunch, when the other little kids came out, we said, you should support him, and you should minimally sit with him, and if you're so inclined, take the mask off and support. That's not exactly what happened. In the meantime, the principal was in her office firing off an email to all of the Hughes Middle School parents saying, there is a peaceful protest. This woman is obviously no history student, but she also likes to rewrite history. She's like, oh, there's a peaceful protest against the state's mask mandate. I'm like, oh, no, you didn't. No, you didn't. We aren't here to protest Governor Newsom's state mask mandate. That's an issue for another day. We are here to protest, my dear, you and your Nazi tactics and misusing the mantle of your authority against a 12-year-old boy. Don't you rewrite history. Don't even try. In one fell swoop in the first 6 minutes on this job, she violated the state California Constitution, Article 9, Section 1, that grants every single child in our state a constitutional right to an education. She violated federal statutory law, 1964, Section 504, all of those acts that provide every child a right to an education. She violated, as well, a civil code statute in our state that says you cannot interfere by way of threat, intimidation, or coercion, or the attempted threat or intimidation or coercion with somebody else constitutional rights, whether you have color of law on your side or not, whether they're a kid or not. She violated the education code, a new law in our state that says you cannot suspend a child, which is basically what she did, for willful defiance, although query whether sitting or standing on your constitutional rights is willfully defiant any more than Elizabeth Eckford was being defiant. And as well, I think we need to ask the question, does her conduct that day constitute the negligent treatment or maltreatment of a child who was in her custody and control by the people who were responsible for his welfare, right? I would argue that it was equal portions, that teacher, that principal, and that superintendent, his name was Dr. Gregory Franklin, his email address was up there too, who did nothing that day, by the way, that all of them were collectively responsible for this child's welfare. And as for the negligent treatment, let me ask you this. Would you think it was maltreatment of your child if you sent him to school and from 8:35 until mid-afternoon they were outside in the blazing sun? How would you feel, right? Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, I think this would have been a substantially different issue if they had taken the 40% of Hispanic children on that campus, all 403 of them, and locked them outside for 6 hours. But alas,
stand up and fight for the right.
But yes,
for
I
your
am
going to
go here. I am going to go here.
Get
I had the unmitigated
job.
Joy at 3 o'clock in that afternoon of approaching a deputy by the name of Sheriff Escobar, who was standing. He's Hispanic. Standing next to an Asian male cop, who were standing next to 4 female cops, none of whom were white, as I recall, so they were working a double minority status. And I said, sir, I have a question for you. I want to know what your departmental policy is going to be tomorrow if we all come back and this rodeo resumes. I asked him specifically for his department policy, and he said, not very wisely, I don't agree with your point of view. I've been discriminated against before. And I'm like, first of all, I didn't ask you for your personal viewpoint. I asked you for your departmental policy. Second of all, you have a right to your viewpoint. That's the beauty of America, and I'll defend your right, but you don't have a right to selectively enforce things. So I have a question for you, Deputy Escobar. Feel free to write OC sheriffs with your thoughts on this gentleman as well. How many cystic fibrosis kids need to be lined up on the sidewalk tomorrow for you to start enforcing all of the different parts of those federal civil laws and not just the one that benefited you and your children? By the way, in case you haven't noticed, I'm a chick, you're a Hispanic male, he's Asian, they're all working a double minority status. We're here talking about a woman principal's bad policy decisions. And none of us would have a job or have been educated or have had the right to vote but for the laws that you are cherry picking the hell out of right now, and you better stop. And then we got the parents coming up to us explaining, you know, the helicopter parents of the snowflake kids. Explaining how we ruined their child's first day of school. Also, minority parents, the irony. And I was very polite and I said, you don't even know what this is about. You need to check yourself and find out what we're doing, why we're doing it. And if you want to lay blame anywhere, you don't lay it at the feet of the people who are protecting that child or trying to. You go into the office and lay that blame where it belongs, at the feet of that principal. Second, your job, at least as far as I can tell as another parent in Orange County, is not to raise snowflake children. Your job is to raise children who can withstand the era we are living in. And I am sorry your child's first day went like this. I am also sorry my daughter, who's a graduate of this school 2 years ago, is sitting in 100 degree heat almost, fighting for the rights of that little kid. But as awful as your child's experience was, you better go ask that little boy what it was like to be locked outside for 12 hours or 6 hours. That's what you should be concerned with. And then you should sit down and tell your child, I am sorry that your first day went like this, because I am, and I'm sure he was. But we are gonna walk back into that school, because right now it doesn't matter what you think about your mask, what I think about my mask. What matters is we are trampling and running roughshod over the constitutional rights and civil liberties of a little 12-year-old boy, and we are gonna go sit with him on that quad until they do the right thing. That's what needed to happen. And I watched as teachers that I am well acquainted with, because they taught my child for 3 years. I watched as the 9 o'clock hour and the 10 o'clock hour and the 11 o'clock hour and the noon hour, I watched as these teachers walked on by. They teach history, but apparently, and I didn't realize this when my kid was there, it's lip service. And my daughter watched, and about 1,000 other kids were watching. And I got news for you. If you want to play it like that, that's your right. But you can play this game. I will tango with you, and there's another way to skin the cat. And if you don't want to do your moral duty, let me explain it to you like this, Lucy. Let me explain it to you like this, babe. There's a little thing called a mandated reporter in the state of California and in pretty much every other state. And what that means is, if you are watching child abuse or child endangerment or child maltreatment, or you hear about it, and you don't report it, you are guilty of a crime under California Penal Code Section 11166, and you can go to jail. You can go to jail. You can go to jail. And you should tell the school that. There's always more than one way to skin a cat, isn't there? I love you guys because y'all give a damn. But I am here to to tell you, my friends, the opposite of a hero is not a villain. The opposite of a hero is what is known as a bystander. And as pissed off as I am at that principal, as pissed off as I am at the other parents and the teachers, I am more pissed at the other parents, 500 of them, who had said they were going to go send their kid to school without a mask and support and bailed. You are worse than the darn enemy at this point, because the enemy I can recognize, and you are pretending to be my friend, and you are doing more harm than all of the combined efforts of the enemy, cumulatively speaking. You all need to know what a bystander is, and you need to not be one, and I'm preaching to the choir in this room, but I may not be preaching to the choir on social media. I'm gonna talk to you about bystander effect. A woman by the name of Kitty Genovese was walking home from her job as a bartender in 1964 in New York City. She was stabbed multiple times by a bad guy with a hunting knife in the back. A lot of people in the apartment buildings around were looking down at the sidewalk, watching it happen. She managed to stagger away around the corner into a stairwell where the bad guy came back a half hour later after having been frightened off wearing a hat, stabbed her multiple more times, raped her, took her money, and left her for dead. And she died bleeding out in her girlfriend's arms, who found her in that stairwell. The New York Times reported 2 or 3 days later, 38 people saw or heard her and did not pick up the phone. One man wanted to pick up the phone and his wife stopped him, saying, "Oh, I'm sure somebody else already called." The problem in America right now is not the enemy. The problem is the people who won't get in the game. The problem is the people who are bystanders. You need to teach your children to not be a bystander. You need to move toward the danger, because you can't handle the danger if you're too far away from it. You need to avoid normality bias, which is the bias in our brains that tells us everything's fine as a volcano erupts, as a tsunami comes, as the thing that I just described last Thursday breaks out. Your brain goes through denial, and then it goes through deliberation. This is a Tuesday morning. I should be having my cup of joe, not screaming on a bullhorn in front of a junior high school, not putting a fire out in my kitchen, not handling an earthquake or a volcano. And you need to get through those first two stages, which are denial and deliberation, to the moment of decisive action. Your job is to retrain your brain every day to look for environmental cues and act. I don't care how you act. It's important simply that you act. I'm going to close with pain. December 23rd, 1776. These are the times that try men's souls. The summertime soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink. They will shrink from the service of their country, but he that stands by it deserves the love and the thanks of every man and every woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. It is our triumph if we stand up, if we show up, if we speak up. And if we rise together, we will fight and we will win, with God Almighty helping. God bless all of you, and your children. Thank you.
Okay. Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry.
Update number one.
Whoops. Sorry, I am so sorry. I smacked my microphone as I was turning that off. Okay, her story was, like, awesome, right? It makes me think, as a mom, and I did the same thing, so this is like, parents need to stand up and fight for their children's rights. And if you don't, oh my gosh, what kind of parent are you? So, years back, one of my kids has been asthmatic all her life, And she asked for their inhaler. She, you know, she's goofed off or whatever. They had her goof off kid. And we had a 504 plan. There's no way in hell I'd put a mask on that kid. Anyways, they wouldn't let her call me. And they didn't call me. And they didn't let her use her inhaler. Boy, did I rain down fire on them. Because when I got home, or she had a walk home. And that was a mile. At least a mile walk. Maybe half a mile. Anyways, she was wheezy and so short of breath. You know, I had to do a whole bunch more things and then almost take her into the doctor. And I reamed that freaking teacher. I mean, I let her have it and never had any problems again. And I had to stand up for my child's rights and educate people about what's going on. And I think that we needed some people to stand up and fight for the children and the mask mandate. I watched some video on Facebook because I barely scroll, and somebody was having their picking up their kid and their kid was in a mask, and I was like, how dare they let them go to school with that? How dare they not fight that school and say my kid is not wearing a mask? And these days, how dare they even send a kid to the school? Get with other freaking parents and figure out a way to homeschool, because right now our schools are indoctrinating your kids with tyranny, and we need to be careful what they're teaching our children these days, especially in college. Send a kid off to college and she doesn't listen to my podcast anyways, and she's the indoctrinating in college is ugh. That's all I can say about that. So I hope that this puts some spirit of get up and do something, because if you don't and you're just complacently just listening to everything that's going on and not in the fight in your local area, then I don't know what to tell you. I've had people listen from Canada, Australia, New Zealand. I had new listeners in Europe, even like Saudi Arabia lately. I don't know. Tell me what you're doing in your country, your area, the local thing to go against this combat tyranny that is over you right now when it concerning the masks or the jab. And I hope that you are, you know, getting in some good vitamin D outside, and you're upping your vitamin C dose for everybody in your house. You're eating some good healthy nutrients. And one way to take the fight is spiritually in the urine prayer. So I hope that you share this, and that you share me, you know, if you have a story of where you are standing up and you are making a waves against the tyranny that is happening globally, I want to know. Email me, reach out to me at holistictravelnurse@gmail.com. I answer them personally. I've been getting extra listeners, oh my gosh, every day. I have just grown this podcast like tremendously, just decided to, like, you know what? I'm not going to back down. I'm going to speak the darn truth, and I'm going to share it with love, and I'm going to share it with kindness, and I'm going to be there, a light in the darkness. And I hope that you get that in this podcast, and I hope that you are inspired. And go ahead and share it. Thanks for listening.